Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The gluten-free trend in eating is more popular than ever, but some without celiac disease or other gluten sensitivity are also trying to avoid refined flour.
A Wisconsin company is on the front lines of an alternative to conventional bread and bread products. Angelic Bakehouse is based in Cudahy, and it specializes in baked goods made from sprouted wheat.
Jenny Marino is president and CEO of the company, and she came by the Lake Effect studio recently. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Mitch. I'm excited to be here.
Well, so let's start with maybe a food science lesson here. What is the significance of sprouted grains? What does the term mean?
Well, science is a great way to start it off, for sure. We, in particular, take a mixture of seven whole grains. Our primary grain is a red wheat berry. Say that 20 times fast. And really the difference between what we do and what traditional bakers do is that we sprout our grains. And what that means is we soak our grains in a warm water bath for a period of approximately 24 hours prior to when we bake them. And what that does, it allows the grain to literally sprout, much like kind of in the old days when you were in kindergarten and you'd put your little bean pod in the little Dixie cup and 3 days later you'd have a little bean shoot.
You're tricking it into growing.
Exactly. That's what we're doing. And when you do that, the outer shell of the grain breaks down and you really get to all the good stuff inside that grain. So it's very different than milling a grain into flour where you kind of kill anything good about it. Here, we really get to the heart of all the nutritional benefits of the grain.
Well, and so if milling it in the traditional way mm-hmm. kills so much of what's good mm-hmm. about the grains, why have people done it that way for now so long?
Well, that's a good question. I think the number one answer is it's a whole lot easier. I mean, what we do is difficult. There are only a handful of bakeries in the United States that use the process that we do, the soaking of the grains. It's significantly easier, obviously, to open a bag of flour and make a loaf of bread. So I think it really comes down to that. But it's interesting because, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, this is how bread was made. You know, wheat would get rained on, it would begin to sprout, it would be harvested, it would then, you know, be made into doughs and breads and flours and that kind of thing. So it's an ancient process that's been around forever and ever, but it's difficult to execute.
How do you stop it from growing? Why isn't the bread continuing to sprout?
Well, when you remove it from the water, we remove it, we rinse it, and then what we do is we grind it into what we call a wet mash. So that immediately stops everything. In addition to that, once you start to bake it, everything stops.
Well, so what are the nutritional benefits that come out when you're baking with sprouted grains?
Well, traditionally, sprouted grain products are higher in protein and fiber, lower in carbs and calories. They're significantly easier to digest because they're so unprocessed. So they're really great on people with sensitive systems. We find that we have a nice diabetic following as well because your sugars don't spike with sprouted grains as much as, you know, they may or may not with a traditional flour-based product.
Is there a trick to, I don't know, without giving away trade secrets here, to doing this in a way that makes it about the flavor as much as it is about the nutritional content? Because there's a lot of stuff that's really good for you,
sure,
but it might taste like cardboard.
That is exactly right. And we like to say that we sprout for good and good. It's kind of the motto behind Angelic. We sprout because it's so good for you, but my husband and I are foodies first and foremost, and if it doesn't taste good, it's not something that we're going to eat, and it's certainly not something that we're going to produce for our customer base. So, you know, it starts with the sprouting process itself. There definitely is a science to it. You can oversprout, you can undersprout. That all affects taste. But then the other ingredients that we add, everything that we do is sweetened with locally sourced honey. We use molasses. We don't use any other sugars. You know, all of our ingredients are the best that we can get. So taste is really a huge priority for us.
Well, and so where do you come in? How did this become what you do?
How much time do you have, Mitch?
We have lots of bandwidth, anyway. I know.
So this company, Angelic Bakehouse, was formerly called Cybros. And Cybros was founded in 1969 by a family, and it was based out of Waukesha. That business was put up for sale several years ago. And to make a very long story short, my husband had been in the mortgage industry and with the collapse of 2008, really had to kind of reinvent ourselves. We're born and raised in Milwaukee. We wanted to stay here. We had strong roots here. We came from entrepreneurial backgrounds, and we just said, let's look for a business to buy. Let's see what we can find here. Let's see what we can do. We by no means set out to buy a Sprouted Grain Bakery in Waukesha, Wisconsin. That was nowhere on our radar. But going back to your earlier question, we tasted the product and we loved it. And, you know, with our backgrounds, we just knew this was something that we could, cheesy pun here, sink our teeth into. And do something pretty great with. So we're really proud of where it's come in the last 5 years.
Well, and so what did you have to do to be able to – I mean, you may have come from an entrepreneurial background, but that doesn't necessarily mean you came from a baking background.
We did not come from a baking background at all. And, you know, we just learned by fire. We had to. And given the fact that the company had been around for so long at that point, 40 years, we had employees that had been there for 20 plus years. And we really leaned on their knowledge and their expertise. James, who is my husband, and I worked every aspect of the business. I mean, we set the grains. We did all the mixing and the blending. I mean, we worked in the back. We called in expert bakers from around the state to really kind of hone the processes, that kind of thing. So we learned the whole baking aspect of it. And then we had to modernize the whole kind of front of the house. There was one phone line. There was no email. All the orders were handwritten. So, I mean, it was a mess the first couple of years. But
well, and you said this business had been around for 40 years at this point. The name changed. Was it – I don't know how best to ask this question. How did you go about deciding, you know, because I would imagine there are, you know, there were loyal customers out there that that you risk losing.
Yeah, this was a really this was a tough decision for us. Absolutely. We had an unbelievably loyal fan base, but it was a small fan base. And, you know, a rebranding exercise is incredibly expensive. So it was not something that we could do right off the bat. We had to kind of grow the business and make room in the budget to go through the exercise. And it became kind of what comes first, the chicken or the egg. We wanted to grow, but how much did we want to grow with the old name knowing we were going to change it? And, you know, how quickly could we change it, you know, without losing that existing customer base? So it was definitely a quandary, but something that we needed to do. To your point, our fans are unbelievably loyal. I think that we did everything in our power to communicate with them the name change. Our biggest fear was the first week we rolled out that angelic packaging, like, oh, what are our numbers going to do? You know what? Stayed the same. Went up.
Have there been stumbles along the way?
Oh, my gosh. There's always stumbles. I mean, there's stumbles every single day. This is not a business that we knew at all, aside from the whole baking aspect of it. Selling into retailers and grocers and learning the way of brokers and distributors and everything that goes into getting a product on a grocery store shelf. I mean, we continue every single day. We learn something different.
At the same time, you got into this field at a time when the Sprouted Grains business is really beginning to take off.
I know. 5 years ago, we didn't necessarily know that. And just a little tidbit here. Cybros had a full line of healthy products. They did whole wheat products. They did gluten-free. They did sprouted. They did a healthy cookie, you know, and we just really went with our gut on what tasted the best, and it was the sprouted, and that's kind of what we bet the farm on. We discontinued everything else and decided to do one thing and do it really well. And now 5 years later, yes, I mean, you're starting to see sprouted everywhere. There's sprouted pastas and sprouted snack chips and sprouted breads and bagels, and it's really becoming an ever-growing category.
And as you say, there are only a handful of bakeries that do it the way that you do, which must put you in a fairly good position to be able to capitalize on that market while I'm sure others are scrambling to get into it.
Yeah, I definitely – I mean, there's some huge credibility in the fact that we are not a Me Too. We're not jumping on a trend bandwagon. It's an established business that's been around for 45 years. So that does give us, you know, some expertise and certainly I would hope some credibility within the industry. I feel confident, you know, in our processes now and that we know exactly what we are doing and kind of how to execute. And, you know, we're learning our way from a national sales model. So the product is out there. You know, it's sold from coast to coast right now, which is a great kind of exciting thing. So, yes, I mean, and I love the new introductions to the category. I mean, any company that can offer a sprouted product, you know, and bring awareness to what we're doing is great.
Well, and so to be able to do this on a national level, how does the shelf life of a sprouted product compare to the relative stability of the unsprouted version?
Yeah, good question. Our breads typically have a 9-day shelf life out at an ambient temperature. And one of the reasons why we can do that, and we don't add any preservatives or any additives or anything like that, the sprouting process itself kind of naturally starts a fermentation, which would then allow you a longer shelf life. Most of our products are sold frozen, though. That's just kind of one way, you know, that you negate the whole shelf life issue. So they're either typically sold in the refrigerated or a frozen section. We do sell them locally fresh because those are stores that we deliver directly to, and we can, you know, control that and make sure nothing is spoiling on the shelf.
How much of this is about the business model itself and how much of this is about changing the way people eat?
I don't know. You know, I'm just a mom and, you know, a businesswoman who loves great food and, you know, certainly enjoys what I do every single day and putting a product out there that I both love and I'm proud of. You know, I don't know that I'm on a mission to change the world and the way people eat. I mean, there are many things that I believe in. You know, our product is made fully without any GMOs, which I think is a really important and timely issue these days. But to that end, we are not a fully organic product. You know, it's a nice mainstream product that, you know, those people that are super duper health conscious and watch every single thing that they put in their body can enjoy. And then conversely, you know, if you just want to do a little bit better for your family and still have that cheeseburger on a Saturday afternoon, you know, and put it on a sprouted grain bun, go for it. Like, our company culture is not one that's out there to really, you know, shout from the rooftops, you know, that the food system in America needs to change.
At the same time, you are using a lot of locally sourced foods.
We do whenever we can. Absolutely. We use our honey is our most fascinating story. There's a farmer in Germantown. It's called Indian Summer Honey, and it's amazing product. We source as much of our grains, you know, from Wisconsin and certainly our neighboring states, the Dakotas and Minnesota, when we can. So we try.
Well, I need to ask you about you actually brought in a couple of quasi-lake effect-themed pizzas. Tell us a little bit about how you concocted these.
Well, let me just give you just a smidge of background first on the pizza itself. So we have a product. It's called a flatza. And the name is simply a combination of flatbread and pizza. What is it? It's a flatza. It's a thin crust.
I believe the Subway people have something similarly named.
Flatiza.
Yes.
Is theirs. We had it first, Mitch. So again, this is one of those products that we developed for selfish reasons. Everyone loves pizza. Cybros at the time did not have a pizza product. How on earth could we go out and eat a white flour dough-based pizza knowing what we knew about sprouted grains? So voila, the invention of the flatza. So yes, I brought you a little treat. We have two different versions. I have a buffalo blue chicken pizza, which is a little play on Lake Michigan blue.
Right.
Which is just buffalo chicken and celery and blue cheese and onions. And then we made up a all things fabulous from Wisconsin pizza. It features DeSalvo's red sauce, which is a wonderful Wisconsin-made pizza sauce, if you're not familiar with it. We have a little Glorioso Jardiniere on there, some Belgloggio mozzarella, Sendix homemade Italian sausage, just great comfort food, yummy pizzas.
And aside from us providing the recipes for those, I know you've got a whole section of recipes on your website as
well.
We
do, and it's growing. And if any of your listeners would like to submit recipes, we love that. We always say anything we can do, you guys can do so much better. But yes, we have a nice recipe section on the website that features not just the flats of recipes, but different things you can do with our buns, our breads, baguettes, all that good stuff.
For somebody who was not a part of this world as recently as, you know, just a handful of years ago, 5 years ago, what is it like to walk down the aisle at the grocery store and see something that your company makes?
I love that you asked me that because even 5 years later, walking down the aisle of the grocery store is one thing, and it's very satisfying. It's when you're in the grocery store and it's in someone's cart that my heart just goes pitter-patter. Or, you know, you see it on the conveyor belt or what have you. It's just like, wow, you know, we made that and you like it. You like us. You really like us. So that's where it really gets me. And it is cool now when we travel. You know, my husband and I were recently in New York City and, you know, we're in the middle of Tribeca in a Whole Foods and our bread was on the shelf. I mean, it's powerful and it's not something that we ever take for granted. It's a big deal.
Well, Jenny Marino, thank you so much for sharing this story with us and best of luck.
Thank you, Mitch. It was great to be here. Enjoy the pizza.
I will. Jenny Marino is president and CEO of Angelic Bakehouse, a Cudahy-based company that produces sprouted wheat bread and bread products. You can't taste the Lake Effect-themed pizzas she brought by the studio, but at WUWM.com, you can do the next best thing, download the recipes. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.